This message was recorded live at Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church in Plantation, Florida. Welcome to PlantationSDA.tv. Here you will find a diverse variety of Bible-based topics and conversations. God's master plan to inspire your mind, bring peace to your heart, and uplift your soul. May you be blessed and encouraged as you listen to God's Word.
Hello, good evening. Good evening, you all. Good evening, all of you that are watching me through the internet. I want to welcome you. I want to welcome you to the happiest day of the week, isn't it? Sabbath is the happiest day of the week. That's why when we go to church, we meet our brothers and sisters, we say, Happy Sabbath, right? So, are you happy tonight? All right. So, today we are talking about a little bit about Jesus at the center of the relationship in marriage. And talking about marriage, I am married for 27 years. And I realized recently that there are some phrases that my mom used to say to me my entire life, and that I thought that when I leave my parents' house, I would never listen to that again. But what I realized is that my wife keeps saying that to me too today. And I believe that it happened the same to you. I believe your mom always said these phrases to you. And I believe that your wife keeps saying that to you today. So, I believe also that in my wedding night, my mom called my fiancé aside and said, let's do a prank to him. Let's do something. He believed that he will never listen to these phrases. But you keep on saying this to him and let's see his face. Because this is very interesting. The first phrase, do you want to know what these phrases are? Okay, the first phrase, and check if your mom didn't say to you when you were a boy or a girl. The first phrase is this. The first phrase is this. My mom said, and my wife keeps saying, I am not your servant. Isn't it? There are some variations. I'm not your slave. Is it true? Why these dishes are here? I am not your slave. Why so many dirty clothes? I am not your slave. My goodness. The second phrase is worse than the first one, okay? The second is worse than the first one. The second phrase my mom always said to me and my wife keeps saying is this. When we get home, we're gonna talk. Isn't it true? Just for saying, I shake inside. When we get home, we gonna talk. And honestly, in this situation, I don't wanna back home. I pray, God, please flat my tire. I don't wanna get home. And the third one is the worst. The worst from the two previous phrases. It is, my mom said, and my wife keeps saying, it is. If you cry, it's going to be worse. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking, I'm kidding. My mom would never say that. I'm kidding. Well, we are talking about two points here. We are talking today about Jesus and marriage, okay? So, there is a Bible text that we can find these two points, Jesus and marriage. You can realize which Bible text is this. Let's go to book of John, John chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. In this Bible text, we can find Jesus in a marriage, okay? In a wedding party. And in my Bible version is the NIV NIV, New International Version, my Bible says exactly like this. John 2, 1 to 12. On the third day, a wedding took place in Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come," his mother said to the servants. "Do whatever he tells you." Verse 6, nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding for 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." It was kind of a party planner, something like that. They did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. And the last verse, the 12, after this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and brothers and his disciples. There they stayed for a few days. Okay. What we just read says that, the Bible says that they were in a party, okay? And the text says that Mary was there, Jesus was there, his brothers were there, and we can understand that because of this, there is a possibility that they had some kinship to the groom or to the bride, and we will see this in just a few minutes. But the Bible doesn't mention about Joseph, because probably it can be that Joseph in this time had passed away, probably. But in the time of Jesus, in Jesus' time, the weddings were full of meanings. There is a Jewish document called Mishnah. Mishnah says that all women that would get married for the first time, they used to get married on Wednesdays. And the women that would get married on for the second time, like the widows, they get married, usually get married on Thursdays. And this was a really meaningful ceremony, because in the house of the groom, there was the groom with a small crowd, his family, his friends. And in the house of the bride, there was the bride with another small crowd, her friends, her parents, her family, relatives. And in a certain time, the groom starts to walk with his crown to the house of the bride. And when they get there, they all get united. And now they turn just in one bigger crowd. And they start to come back to the house of the groom. And this path, they usually to do this path singing, dancing, and they hold torches, and the people that look this far, it was a beautiful spectacle. So, usually the parties, the wedding parties, used to last for seven days. And the verse 2, I want to take your attention, because in the verse 2, Bible says, Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. And from this verse, we can take two lessons for us today, okay? The first one is that Jesus were there because he was invited. And that is so true. Because Jesus wants to be invited. Jesus wants to be invited to your life. Jesus wants to be invited to your days. And the second lesson is that he was invited to a party. Look at that. Jesus wants to be invited to our party days. Because it's easy to us invite Jesus when we are in our bad days. It's easy to us invite Jesus when we get the laboratory exam. It is easy to us invite Jesus when we need a job and we look for a job and couldn't get it. It is easy for us when we have a schedule on the immigration. It is easy to invite Jesus in these days, in this moment. And Bible, in this Bible verse, in this verse, is telling us, please invite Jesus to your party days. And the party continues. At some point, they realized that something was wrong. Something was wrong. The waiters were invited to the kitchen. And when they get there, it comes the verse 5. And the most interesting is that when we read the verse 5 and the whole text, our attention is caught to the miracle. But in the verse 5, Mary took initiative to fix the problem. What it can be, as we said earlier, that it can be some sign that actually they had some kinship with the bride or the groom. Because when the problem arises, Mary took the initiative to fix the situation. And here we come for 2 points that I want to have your attention. The first point is about what Mary said in this moment. And the second point is why she said what she said. So let's go to the verse 5. The verse 5 tells us that Mary said to the waiters, she said, do whatever he says. And that is the greatest advice someone could get about a happy marriage. Do whatever Jesus says. And this phrase is not the answer for this problem. This phrase is the answer to a lot of problems, to a lot of questions. And I ask you tonight, are you doing what Jesus says in your marriage? And the second point, Mary said to them, do whatever he says without having any idea about what he will do. She said, do whatever. It doesn't matter what he asks. Do it. And why she said that? Because Mary trusted on him. Because Mary knew who he was. And I can tell you, in that place, there were nobody that knew Jesus better than her, because she was his mother. And you know what? When we know Jesus, we can deal with situations in our life in a different way. When we know Jesus, we can be more patient. When we know Jesus, we can measure our words. When we know Jesus, we can think before the words come out of our mouth. When we know Jesus, we can put ourselves in the place of the other person. When we know Jesus, we do not need to be the center anymore. The other can be in the center. You know what? The word sin has just three letters. Sin, small word. S-I-N. In the center of the word sin is the letter I. Did you realize that? In the center of the sin is I. I am in the center of the sin. That's why we said, that's what I want. That's what I think. That's what I do. That's my opinion. That's what I want. But you know, Mary said, you can do whatever he says because I know him. And now I ask you, do you know Jesus? You can probably are thinking, oh, of course, I know Jesus. But do not respond this so fast. Do not answer this so fast. Do you know Jesus enough to don't be the first anymore? Do you know Jesus enough to don't need to be the center anymore? Do you know Jesus enough to stop the world spinning around you and start to spin around your husband, around your wife, around your son, around your daughter? Because when you know Jesus, you can do, just when you know Jesus, you can do whatever he says. And just when you do whatever he says, he can turn your water into wine. And he can bring party back to your marriage. And you can be asking yourself, but how I know Jesus? I know Jesus. What is he talking about? How I know Jesus? Let's go back to the text. The problem, Bible said, was that the wine was ended. No more wine. I don't know who messed it up. I don't know who messed it up, but or they invited more people than they should, or they had bought less wine than people they invited. I don't know who messed, but there was a problem. And in this point, Jesus said to the waiters, fill the jars with water. And now I want to ask you a question. Jesus needed the water to perform the miracle. Like Jesus, if there were no water, there were anything Jesus could do. Jesus depend the jars be filled with water to perform the miracle to do. I believe don't, because he was God. He is God. He just said, you see those jars? They are already filled with wine. You can go and give to the people. But why he asked them to fill the jars with water? You remember, when he created the universe, he created from nothing. He just spoke, and with his voice, things started to exist. He just could take the wine and distribute. But no, he asked them to fill the jars with water, probably to show us that there are one part that belongs to God, and there are another part that belongs to the man, that belongs to the human being. And usually this part is called faith. So, Bible says, the text says that he turned water into wine, and the waiters started to distribute, to give the new wine to the people in that party, and I try to see this scene, this situation. People are talking because they were in a party and they were enjoying the party. And notice a detail. When the waiters came back to the saloon, I don't know what place was that, with the new wine, just the waiters had seen the miracle happening. The other people don't. So when they were distributing the wine, they were thinking, I know what I have in my hands. I know what I have in my hands. And some people, they were far. They didn't see the miracle. They took the wine, drink that normally, usually, as we were doing till the wine ended. But here is a nice detail, an important detail. When Jesus did the miracle, the waiters were close to him and they saw the miracle. And from that moment on, in that party, he started to have two kinds of people, two classes of people. Those who were apart from Jesus, far from Jesus. And because they were far from Jesus, they didn't see anything. They didn't see the miracle. Nothing happened. They just took a new wine and started to drink all over again. And the other class are those who were right beside Jesus. They were close to Jesus. And because they were close to Jesus, they saw the miracle. And I can tell you this. This is a reality to today. This situation persists to today. Because we have to today those who are far from Jesus. And because they are far from Jesus, they don't see miracles happening. Their lives doesn't change. They don't see anything new. And there are those people that they are close to Jesus. And because they are close to Jesus, he can see miracles happening. He can see, they can see life changing because they are close to Jesus. I heard some time, of course, this is not real, I guess, but I heard a story that said that a man, a married man, had a huge fight with his wife, a huge fight. So he went to his father's house and he said, Dad, I hate that woman. I hate her. She's so selfish. I hate her. She's, you know, I cannot live with her. Honestly, I would like to kill her. And his dad, whoa, yes, because I hate that woman. I don't know why I marry her. And the father said, well, okay. He thought a little bit and said, I understand you are angry, and I can tell you what. I'm going to help you to do that. Really? Yes. You are going to help me to kill my wife? Yes, why not? I said, but you have to listen to me. Because you cannot do this today, right now, or tomorrow, because you had a fight. And if you kill her, you are the first suspect. You cannot do that. You gonna wanna go to jail? No, I don't wanna go to jail. So you have to listen to me. I have a plan. You have a plan? Yes, I have. But it's not gonna be easy. It's gonna be tough. But you have to be persistent. Okay? But what do you have in mind? Let's do this. You have to be diligent because it really gonna be tough. What are you thinking that? Well, starting from tomorrow, you are going to treat your wife really well. Really well. You without any, you know, It is not her birthday. It is nothing. You just buy flowers and bring to her. You start to, with no reason, you buy a fancy box of chocolate and bring to her. And you are going to treat her so well. It will be tough because she will test you. She will keep provoking you. And you have to control yourself. Remember, you're going to want to go to jail? No, I don't. So you have to control yourself. So you are going to treat her so well that one day, I don't know how long this will last, for half a year or a year, but I am sure that we are going to reach a day that you are going to treat her so well that you can kill her because nobody will suspect about you. All right? But you have to be strong. Well, okay. And from that day, he started to treat her so well. And it was exactly as his father said. It was tough because she was tough too. But he got a plan. I have to treat her well. And the days were passing. The days were passing. And from nothing, he buy flowers to her. He buy candies. He treated her so well. He started to open the car door for her. He started to treat her so well. And 1 year later, he met his dad. And his dad said, well, I believe you did what we agreed. Yes, I did everything. So I believe that you are ready to kill her. And he said, Dad, what happened is that when I started to treat her well with the time, she started to treat me well also. And with this, we started to listen to each other. We started to talk with each other. We started to treat each other well. And you know what, Dad? I love this woman. And I believe she loves me. And Dad said, yes, I knew it. Because as Jesus says, who is in the center of the scene is I. When I am in the center of the scene, I just can think about me, myself, and I. And you know, Bible uses a really nice illustration when Bible is talking about wedding and marriages. The illustration Bible uses Jesus as the groom, right? Jesus as the groom. And the church are his bride, right? We are his bride, okay? So I did lots of wedding ceremonies. I lost my count. I don't remember how many wedding ceremonies I did. But if you already saw a wedding ceremony, you notice that the groom is the first to enter in the church. Isn't it true? The groom is always there. Who sometimes get later in the church is the bride. But the groom is always there. You know? This is so true. Because if Jesus is the groom and we are his bride, it is true also that Jesus is already there. He's waiting for us. There are three things that this text said to us. First one, invite Jesus. Second one, do whatever he says. And the third, be close to him. Jesus is the center of the marriage. Close your eyes. Dear Lord, thank you so much because you are the answer. You are the answer to any problem. You are the answer to any challenge. You are the answer to any question. And when we realize that you are our groom, that you are already there waiting for us. And we can rest in your arms. We can believe in you. We can do whatever you said because we trust in you. We believe in you. We know you. Everything changes in our life. So God, thank you so much for being the God you have been. Thank you so much for being our Father at the same time. And we put our lives, our marriage, our family in your hands because we trust you. And you know that you love us so much that you already have the answer. So we ask you in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
This podcast was brought to you by Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church, a Christ-centered congregation dedicated to spreading the good news of God's love through sermons, deeper dive conversations, and much more. If you would like to listen to more life lessons and inspirational content, please visit us at plantationsda.tv.